The next round of COVID relief is one step closer to becoming law. From Marketplace, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. The Senate passed its version of President Biden's COVID relief plan this weekend, and the House is set to take up and likely pass the almost $2 trillion legislation tomorrow. Much of it is targeted at those hardest hit by the pandemic. Today is International Women's Day, so it's fitting that I'm joined by our regular guest for more on this, Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you very much. Same to you.
Thank you. The Senate passed its version of the relief bill over the weekend. Is this likely to help women?
There are direct cash payments. That's going to help everybody, particularly those who need it the most. There is a lot of provisions for children. So the child credit is enhanced, and that should help people struggling with raising children and dealing with added expenses during the pandemic. So I think that overall, it should definitely help the most vulnerable people, which are women and specifically lower income women who have been hardest hit by this recession.
The Senate passing that bill over the weekend and kicking it back to the House helped out bond markets. We're seeing that this morning.
Yes, bond markets. We've been seeing interest rates on the rise, really, they've gone really far, really fast. So there's a little bit of concern that they're going a little too fast and might start hurting things like the housing market or car sales.
Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Last summer, the Supreme Court ruled that it is illegal under federal law to fire someone for being lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender, something which had been legal in 27 states. The decision gave legal recourse to LGBTQ people who experience discrimination at work and has prompted some employers to do more to curb bias in their workplaces. But many workers still face discrimination, particularly trans workers. For more about employment protections for trans people and the current policy landscape, I'm joined by Gabriel Arklas, Senior Counsel at the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Discrimination can be so hard to prove, especially if you are within a marginalized group. What are some of the key challenges you think remain for trans workers in terms of leveraging the outcome of this ruling into more equitable workplaces?
Unfortunately, non-discrimination laws alone are not enough to stop discrimination across the board. And that discrimination can take a lot of different forms. Sometimes it's the firing or the failing to hire. Sometimes it's persistent and deliberate misgendering of transgender people. And sometimes it's about workplace policies like dress codes or restricting restroom access for transgender people. Or insurance policies. It's actually, unfortunately, still very common for employers to offer health insurance that has a discriminatory exclusion for transgender health care.
The Biden administration has taken some steps already to address some of the issues LGBTQ communities face. To what extent have these actions affected trans workers specifically?
So Biden has said that federal agencies will not discriminate against people on the basis of being transgender, lesbian, gay, or bisexual. Biden has also directed those agencies to make policies that protect LGBT people in the workplace and beyond. We don't yet know exactly what actions those agencies are going to take. What we're hoping to see is more active enforcement of the civil rights laws, especially when there are state or local governments that may be in violation of them.
What policies do you think would address the risks for the most vulnerable trans workers, for example, Black and Indigenous trans folks and those in low-wage jobs?
One thing that we need is the Equality Act. The Equality Act will close gaps currently in federal non-discrimination law. But in addition to that, the Raise the Wage Act would allow those of us in the lowest wage jobs to be compensated more fairly. We also need to look at protecting people from discrimination based on criminal convictions. Unfortunately, Black and Indigenous transgender people face bias at every level of the criminal legal system. So if we leave people with a criminal record without any way to get employment, we're really putting them in an impossible position.
How are the cultural changes happening in the country affecting the workplace changes for people who are transgender?
I do think that the cultural changes have been helpful in that there are more resources out there for employers to actually educate themselves. And we're less likely to be met with sort of total bewilderment or ignorance. There are, for example, some diversity, equity, and inclusion consultants who are Black trans people who are available to help employers make their policies and practices better.
Gabriel Arklas is senior counsel at the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We also spoke with Nyle Grant about what it's like being trans in the workplace, with the acknowledgement that here at Marketplace, we had to confront what it means to create a trans-friendly workplace with one of our former journalists. That interview and more are on our website, marketplace.org. And I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.